How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard, and this is a show about pro wrestling. And we're going to be bringing you another one of our random match reviews. And we don't really have any rhyme or reason why we review certain matches. It just might be whatever mood Leonard and I are in, or whatever we send each other. And this week, Leonard has sent me a match, and boy, I am anxious to talk about it. So, Leonard, take it away.
Well, first of all, let me say I'm wearing a new shirt. Those of you watching on YouTube can see that. That is the Humperdinck Brute Squad shirt with a logo of Andre the Giant on it, which came from Chad's Christmas present to me of a gift card to WrestlingTees.com. So check them out. It took a while for me to get it because there was some confusion on what it was, I think. And anyway, I got it, got the shirt. There's a few others I have in my cart that I would love to go back and get. There's a really cool Jake Roberts shirt I like. There's a Chi-Town Rumble shirt with Sting and not Sting, Flair and Steamboat on it that I like too. So probably be getting more from them in the future.
I think the next one I'm going to get from them, after watching The Dark Side of the Ring, it really had me interested in his career. And I was like, I wonder if there's any shirts of this guy, would be Eddie Gilbert. And there's like only one shirt of Eddie Gilbert. So I might get that next.
I like Eddie Gilbert. That he's very underrated because I think because he died so young, like right before the 90s boom period, you know.
Really
But
ahead
anyway,
of
so
time.
yeah. So anyway, the match that we're going to talk about, which is very random, of course, is that is Jeff Gaylord versus Rasta the Voodoo Man. And this is from the July 10th, 1991 episode of Global Wrestling Federation Supercard, which aired on ESPN, and it is part of the first round of their television title tournament. Sometimes I just like to find random old TV, wrestling TV to watch on YouTube. I've been watching some early GWF, which has been dominated by this title tournament. And this match, you know, I'll get into kind of why I picked it here as we go. But it's not the match itself. The whole episode is available on YouTube along with others. So from the episode, that July 10th episode, it starts at 20:13, goes about 31:55, so around 11 minutes total for the segment. So first of all, let's talk about both these guys. Rasta the Voodoo Man is Lester Spite, who is probably best known as Terry Tate, office linebacker from a series of commercials for Reebok. And he's also the voice of Augustus Cole in the Gears of War video game series, for which he has won several voice acting awards for video games. He wrestled as Rasta, not only in GWF, but also for Catch Wrestling over in Europe. And I did find a match of him between him and Fit Finlay that I almost sent you to do instead, but it was a little bit clipped. So I know that you looked up some stuff on Rasta as well. So is there anything I missed on him?
Well, I do have to correct you, or at least what
Okay.
came across on his name when I watched the episode. You said Rasta the Voodoo Man, and the announcers clearly said it as Rasta Voodoo Man. And I think they
Oh.
did it, and I think they did that in a very deliberate way. It's
Yes.
now, look, obviously, any people that watch this show are very much familiar with the history of wrestling, the stereotypes, and the, you know, caricatures that have surrounded various ethnicities and people of different countries over the years. This is about as racist as it gets.
Yeah, it
Like,
is definitely. I don't think it's quite as bad as Saba Simba,
that
but
one's bad.
it's it. But it, I would maybe say it's equivalent to Papa Shango. It definitely feels like a equivalent character.
Oh, and apparently, yeah, and obviously Papa Shango came not too long after this, and
Yeah, no, this predated Papa Shango.
yeah, Papa Shango was pretty much just a voodoo guy. This guy seems to be, at least in name, a combination of voodoo and Jamaican, which is just like I can only imagine how they came up with that name. So
Yeah. So, and then his opponent here is Jeff Gaylord, who turned pro in 1985. He wrestled for Mid-South as it transitioned to UWF, world-class UWA global here. I think he's probably best known for his USWA work. And he's the second bank robber that we've talked about, the first being Ranger Ross. Gaylord robbed the same bank branch twice in Aurora, Colorado, and then tried to rob another bank in Monument, Colorado. He died March 15th of 2023 at the age of 64. He was found at a bus stop dead and considered by authorities to be a transient at the time, sadly. But in 1991, the year this match is from, Gaylord was number 83 in the PWI 500, which I think is a pretty good ranking for him.
Yeah, I mean, what a sad story the end of his life is. The robbing of, two different banks, but robbing three times. And then, being homeless, from what we've read. But he was the Black Knight in the 93 Survivor Series. He was a member of a faction that I need to know more about, Sid Vicious's The Psychos. And apparently in USWA, he was a member of the Nation of Domination faction there. His name was Akeem Hussein, which, what a career this guy
had. I didn't look in the detail in his – we should review some of that mid-late 90s USWA stuff.
Absolutely.
At some point, yeah. And before we get to the match, you also want to mention our commentators, which are Craig Johnson and Scott Hudson. Of course, Hudson would go on to WCW after this. And I do think that both guys do a pretty good job overall in this match as far as getting the guys over and the characters over. Although some of the comments I think are unintentionally comical and racist, like saying Rasta is doing more than slinging pineapples around to be in the shape that he's in.
That was a cringe moment for me.
Yeah,
definitely. I obviously I can take a lot, but when I heard that, I was like, oh, geez, guys, what are we being fed here?
and Hudson talks about how the officials have stopped him from bringing voodoo dolls to the ring.
Yeah.
And Johnson miscalls some stuff. At one point, he calls a backdrop a sunset flip. But I think they're C-plus announcers doing their best. I really think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, so the match itself, and I'll say right off, the reason I picked this, and of course I was watching, I told you I'm watching the shows, I've kind of got them on in the background, and when this match kind of got going, I started watching it. I actually got kind of involved with it, and that's one of the reasons I picked it. But at the very beginning of the match, Rasta appears to put a curse on Gaylord's shoulder right at the start before the bell. And he starts, Gaylord starts favoring the shoulders. I think that's kind of a nice touch. And I think it's kind of maybe better than like Papa Shango's voodoo power usage, where he had black stuff coming out of the Ultimate Warrior's boots and stuff. But like this kind of subtle, more subtle, I should say, bit with the shoulder. Rasta takes control to start with his power, which I think surprises Gaylord because he's a pretty big dude himself. And he comes back with clotheslines and flexes to mock Rasta, who was flexing at one point. Gaylord gets a two count of a high cross body, and Rasta just presses him up out of the ring. There's a lot of these covers that Gaylord gets that he gets a one count, and he is just pressed up and out on the Voodoo Man no sells a couple kicks to the gut before laying a drop kick. Gaylord is pressed off into the floor again on a cover. Back in the ring, Gaylord is whipped to the far corner. And for a guy his size, he gets a pretty impressive turnaround crossbody from the second turnbuckle. Things slowed down here as Gaylord works a headlock on the mat. Gaylord with another clothesline for a cover and is pressed to the floor again. Rasta chokes Gaylord out on the ropes. And Jeff comes back with another short. I think I skipped a little bit in my notes here. Gaylord is so basically. I'll just skip ahead a little bit. Gaylord has these little mini kind of comebacks. A couple times he does like this pounce from a crouching position, which I kind of liked. And then Rasta just sort of no sells and kind of makes the comeback, wears him down. Continues to kind of wear him down throughout. So the finish comes when Gaylord comes back with a second of those short pounce moves. Rasta moves out of the way of a dive in the corner, and Jeff posts his shoulder, and that leaves to a roll up and a win for Rasta the Voodoo Man to advance in the tournament. And the announcers, of course, point out how they had done the shoulder bit at the start of the match, and Gaylord hurts his shoulder, and that allows for the roll up. So slow in spots, but I thought this was better than had any right to be. These guys had simple characters, but knew how to work them. There were some good power moves. I liked the story of the match with the shoulder, how that came back at the end. I mean, I would only go about maybe two and a quarter stars, but for what I was expecting, I was kind of surprised by it.
I mean, yeah, I'll go the star rating that you gave there. I think is fair. You know, there's a lot of power moves, and Jeff Gaylord has, you know, certainly had talent here. You know, he has, some more of the high flying moves going on. You know, Rasta has some leg drops that I thought were interesting as well. But he's obviously not, like, this was listed. And on Cage Match, this is like listed as his first ever match.
Oh, really? I know this was very early in his career, right? I didn't know this was his first match.
Yeah, and whether or not that's actually his first match, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be his first recording. He may have done some house shows or small indie. I'm not sure. Right. I think I looked up where his training came from, but I didn't write that down. But yeah, as far as, I mean, this was the first set of GWF tapings. So it was certainly been his first major exposure.
Yeah, and he was obviously very green here. They were, you know, like you've seen a lot of power guys or guys that are well-built who have characters that do this. Leonard mentioned some of the no-selling and, you know, the basic power moves. But, you know, I agree, like, it was interesting for what it was. You look at this guy and you might think, if you don't remember him from the Reebok commercials, you might like recognize him because he did a lot of not just voice acting, but film and TV.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention he did film and TV. And both these guys have a football background, which I forgot to mention.
Yeah, they called Jeff Gaylord the Missouri Tiger at one point, which is interesting because, you always usually rely on Jim Ross to get over the football backgrounds of some of these guys. Rasta the Voodoo Man was, he would go on to do a lot of acting. He got out of wrestling in 1997. But I think that other than adjusting this character, this was like the main character that he had.
Yeah, because even the Finley match I found, I think, was from 96, so shortly before he retired. And he was still playing Rasta the Voodoo Man. Everything I found on YouTube was him as Rasta.
He was also he was drafted by the Giants as a replacement player, but he never actually played any games.
Yeah, in the 87 year, strike year.
And just another random trivia note about GWF that I wrote down. It was created in the wake of WCCW folding, by Max Andrews and Joe Pescino, only ran from 91 to 94, and they were eventually sued by WWF because of global being too close to the word world.
And I believe that lawsuit dragged on, and then when the GWF folded, they just kind of pulled it back. Hey, we're not around anymore.
One of the interesting things for people that remember that are our age was that this was one of the last wrestling companies to air on ESPN.
Yes.
And so they had the rights to the footage for a long time. And, it's worded weird on Wikipedia, but I assume WWE now owns all that footage. But they said that in the Wikipedia article, it says that ESPN owns it, but WWE has access to it. So whatever the case, you can look at some of these things if you still have the network in other countries.
Because I don't think any of this is on Peacock. As I said, I was kind of watching on YouTube. So, well, I think it is time for everyone's favorite new part of the show, as I hold the sign up sideways for those of you looking on YouTube. But for those of you who may not have caught this, I, at a thrift store, bought the third edition of the World Wrestling Federation Attitude and Review game. So this is from early aughts. and we've been answering questions at the end of every episode. We've been doing a card each, and they're 1 to 5 on the questions. The first two are multiple choice, so we've just been doing 3, 4, and 5. So, Chad, here are your questions, starting with question 3. This is a good one. Who was the first superstar to simultaneously hold the Intercontinental and Tag Team titles?
The Intercontinental and Tag Team titles. My first guess would be Shawn Michaels.
That is who I was thinking, but it was actually his buddy, Diesel.
Oh.
Because Diesel had the IC belt and the tag belt. Shawn had the world title and the tag belt.
That's annoyingly close.
Yes, yes. Yeah, when I saw it was Diesel, I knew what it was. Who defeated Demolition at WrestleMania 7?
WrestleMania 7. Was, I believe, was that the Japanese tag team?
It was the Japanese tag team.
Tenryu, and I believe the other guy was the guy that Earthquake John Tenta almost beat up in a match in Japan. I forget his name. He was
Mateo.
Yes, that was the guy. So, short background on that. They had a match in Japan. That guy tried to shoot on Tenta, who has a sumo background, and I think this guy does as well, and quickly realized that John Tenta was a little bit tougher than he expected.
And then the final question here, who was the host of the Snake Pit?
Wouldn't that be Jake Roberts?
Yes, that is so easy. I don't know why it's 5. And your celebrity of the week is Perry Saturn with Terry.
I was hoping it would be Perry Saturn with Moppy.
Yes, but no, you get Perry Saturn. My card sucks. I'm just going to tell you this now. Bob Holly is a fan of what NASCAR driver? So, well, this is my card.
If the answer is spark plug, then that's annoying.
Yes, no, this is my card. I'm going to go with I figured the time, he's not going to like Jeff Gordon, or he's not. It's Dale Earnhardt.
That would be my guess.
My stepdad was a big Dale Earnhardt fan. I'm going to guess Dale Earnhardt. Of course, I have to go through the whole card before we flip it over. Bob Holly competed in what sport prior to entering wrestling? Now, are they saying kayfabe? Is it stock car racing, or did he do something else?
I think he actually did that.
He actually did stock car racing.
Maybe I'm wrong.
And then what wrestler told Al Snow he would never make it in wrestling? So I think it would be probably some train. Harley Race comes to mind because I know Harley Race talked crap on Kenny Omega. So
Harley Race talked about Kenny Omega?
Yeah, he went to, you don't know this story, Kenny? Kenny Omega went to like a Harley Race training school, and Harley Race kept putting him with like the people who sucked, and he got like mad, and Harley Race told him, look, you're not any good. And so Omega, and I'm paraphrasing, I may be shorting the story. I'll have to look up the whole story. But I guess Omega walked out and said, well, I'll do it myself, and self-trained himself from that point forward, something like that.
The fact that the two of them were even in the same zip code is...
Yeah, I'll have to look up that story. And again, I heard this from the Jim Cornette podcast. They talked about it. So wow. I'm going to go with Harley Race. So Dale Earnhardt is correct. It was dirt bike racing.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was a form of racing.
Yeah.
And I never would have got this in a million years. Who told Al Snow he would never amount to anything was Gene Anderson.
That's very random.
Oh. Yes. Of the Andersons, it's the lesser Anderson.
Right.
Gene was Ole's original tag team partner back in the day as the Minnesota Wrecking
Crew. Right.
And my celebrity of the week is K-Quick, who is R-Truth.
Right. Yep.
That is still active today.
Still doing it. Yeah.
Probably the only guy in this box that is still an active wrestler. Billy Gunn might be in here. So
he's barely active, but
yeah, he is, but he's still technically active. Gold Dust might be in here. Dustin is still technically active, I think. So yeah, so there's the questions, and we'll hit up to 2 more cards next time out.
All right. Well, check out our other episodes, our full-length episodes, and Segment Surgery, What's That Card, all the stuff we have. We're also available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the like button, subscribe to our content, Thank you for checking us out. Let us know if you have any memories of the Global Wrestling Federation or this match. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.